It's our morning show time today, some time for community conversation. I'm Phil Nee, and we are joined by Karen Templey, who is running for mayor in the upcoming election April 2nd. Mayor in the city of Richland Center, and she's requested time on our morning show, and we welcome her today. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on the air with us today. I guess maybe start out and share with the audience, you're sitting here today ready to run for mayor. And,
yes, I am.
Talk about that decision.
Sure. Well, like I said, it's been about 5 years, almost 6 years that I've served as an alderperson. So how I got there was, you know, I've been here for like almost 30 years, which time flies, right? Having fun. Started out, worked at Allen Bradley, and then did that for a short time. And then I worked outside of the area as well. And then I noticed an ad for Neighborhood Housing Services. With my background in real estate, I decided to come back here and give that a try. So I was a liaison for the self-help housing project. So I worked between NHS and rural housing development. So that was very interesting. And then I first got involved with the community, with an organization that was called the Downtown Neighborhood Association. So my passion for downtown has been there from, you know, even before my children had businesses downtown. And then I got involved with the chamber after that. So Neighborhood Housing Services, I'm sorry, the Downtown Neighborhood Association went to the chamber. So I was involved with that as well as tourism. Then I thought I took a little break and went back to school. And through that, Community Prosperity Alliance came to be, and I also got involved with that. And that led to the run for council in 2018.
You earned a business degree during that time, too.
I did. Yes, I treated it as a job. So I was full-time. I was also served as president of Phi Theta Kappa, which is the two-year honor society. For the two-year colleges, so yeah, it was very rewarding, and got right in there and was a real student. So yeah, it was great. It was a great experience.
How do you feel some of the past background can help you if you're elected mayor?
Sure. Well, like I say, my background once again in real estate. So I in Racine, which is where I'm from. I worked for about 10 years. Both as a salesperson and as a real estate broker. So background in business, background in real estate. I also have a certificate from Carthage College in Kenosha for a paralegal. So a varied background and should kind of get me, good footing for there. I also have served on finance committee for 4 years, the library board. You know, the library board's interesting because it has autonomy. For purpose. Way back when, that was the outlet for news, where people came and gathered. And they never wanted, like, the government heavy hand, if you will, over that. So the library board manages their own budget. So it's almost like, a city with a group that's run much like the city. So I have that background. I also have served on Planning Commission, and I've wanted to be on the Planning Commission probably from almost day one, because that's where everything starts for the city. You know, many people will come to council meeting, and they'll say, wow, I wish I would have known about that. You know, planning is where a lot of that starts. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen a lot with zoning and that type of thing, but that's where we work with a comprehensive plan and how the city grows.
So you're saying to possibly get the word out more on the meetings and the planning, you know, in advance? Is that one of the things you're talking about?
Yes, for sure. Our city is probably one of the few in the area that doesn't have a presence on social media. So having a Facebook page, having an official city, both Instagram and Facebook, so that information like that, council meetings, planning meetings, so that people are aware before it gets to almost the last step in the whole process where, you know, we as council people, are the decision makers. So that's where the yes and no happens. But all of that happens before.
Mm-hmm. So being transparent, in other words, is that something that you'd look at if elected mayor, that you would be trying to work on the social media part of it a little bit more?
Yes, definitely. I worked with our previous city attorney to develop a social media policy. It's important that not only is the information given, but correct information and just to keep an eye on how that is run. So yes, I definitely would have a hand in that. Certainly get it going. And then we'll take it from there. But transparency, accountability, those things are very important.
There is a city administrator now, and how does that affect duties of mayor as you see it?
Yes, I believe this is the first contest for mayor since hiring the administrator. As far as state statutes, they state what the job of a mayor should be with an administrator, and basically they serve as the chief executive officer with monitoring the activities of the administrator. So then the administrator, all the other departments report to the administrator. I believe the mayor should assist the city staff with prioritizing projects and providing support. Unfortunately, I've seen a lot of, throughout the last 6 to 8 months for sure, the city staff being sent kind of in too many directions with regard to what is most significant at that time sensitive. So the other duties of a mayor is to the city ordinances, is to enforce those. It's not the fun job. it's not the exciting part, but that is listed as number two under state statutes. Then developing a procedure to monitor those. And then policy leader for the community, and then recommendations to council. So those are the top three duties of a mayor under an administrator.
When you go out and visit people and knock on doors and things like that, probably one of the first questions they ask is, why now? Why did you decide to run now, Karen?
Yes, why now? Well, I guess that's one thing I would like to point out before getting into the points of my platform is why I call the not reasons. I'm not running for mayor because I'm proud or I think I'm important or even I think that I know better than anyone else. It's not about me. It's how I feel about those things. A lot of people who know me would describe me as humble or modest. In fact, one of my concerns for running for this race is, in general, I'm not very comfortable talking about myself. I can talk all day long about the city and the things that we can do and my accomplishments. There we go. I'm kind of, I lead by example, and that's part of my just part of my personality. And I think that's what sets me apart from the incumbent. However, I do understand that it is necessary in this situation to emphasize my qualifications because essentially I'm interviewing for the job with every citizen of Richland Center. So this mayoral race is one of the few times that you'll hear much about me specifically. With that, I want people who don't know me to know me better and to give them a chance to make informed decision.
You're passionate about the downtown, I know, aren't you?
I am. Like I said, joining the Downtown Neighborhood Association, Rebecca Wanless started that group. So that was way before my kids had businesses downtown. Scott and Kelly have Kelly's Coffee, and my son Frank has the Main Street Hobby and Bikes. There's a lot that happens in your downtown, and we are a county with one city, and your core is the downtown. So there are, certainly there's many groups that are already established. We do have the Greater Tourism. We have the Chamber, obviously. But there are other groups that are, established. There's Connect Communities, which is associated with Wisconsin Economic Development, and there's other organizations, Create Wisconsin, that already have all the ground floor laid that I would like to work with to possibly improve downtown.
If you had a magic wand and you could wave it, what would you like to see improved?
I've said that through this campaign. You know, the mayor doesn't have a magic wand, you know, nor a vote. So your decision makers are really, who actually move things forward. Mm-hmm. So, but if I had my say, I brought up the comprehensive plan before. And, you know, the comprehensive plan is every 10 years, once again, by state statute, that we put together a plan that the community has a chance to express what they would like. So, what we want in our community isn't a one-person, decision. So I would, I have worked with that plan quite extensively within planning. And that is the group, the committee that is charged with that. So part of that plan is, the downtown corridor, the Orange Street corridor, obviously parks and that type of thing. So pretty happy to work within that plan that the community has acknowledged that these are the things we would like to do.
Some of the topics include need for housing and different things like that. I'm sure that's an ongoing thing that you'd be looking at, too.
Yes, housing. It is in every conversation. And we need housing at all levels. I think the community has probably heard, mostly by now, that there will be two apartment buildings put in at the Panoramic Estates location. So very thankful that that project is moving forward. And like I said, there's other organizations. We have WIDA that also has, right now they have, I think, like four programs going. So some of those programs can also lend to infrastructure for housing that would be, more like on the affordable level. So we have a lot of state entities that can help with that. So once again, housing, yes, very important.
Well, Karen, let's talk a little bit about your platform. I guess you've touched on a little bit of that, but what are some things you'd like to get out there and have be known about, again, while you're running for mayor of City of Richland Center?
Sure. Well, I have a tagline, ready for every day in the office. Now, I don't say that to mean 40 hours every single day in the office. You know, every day is one word. So that is to be, definition-wise, it's be common that you would find me in the office because this is not a full-time position. However, it does require a lot more time than just every now and then. You know, the staff members and I would work closest that do work the 40 hours a week. So at that time, they need somebody with a flexible schedule that can assist with moving projects along when it's needed most. So while the mayor is the CEO and the administrator reports to the mayor. At that point, that's where it would kind of switch. And I would say, what can I help you with to move this project along? So that's a big part of it. I would collaborate to uphold the ordinance and zoning regulations. Right now, we are short-staffed. We do not have a zoning administrator. And part of that position is enforcement. It takes the extra time right now to have those ordinances and zoning regulations upheld. Also, representation at the state and regional meetings that happen. I had the opportunity to attend a thank you, if you will, to Senator Howard Markline and Representative Tony Kurtz, was put on by the League of Municipalities in Reedsburg. And while it was a thank you, there was a great time for roundtable and great discussion. And I came back with a good piece of information from just another member there, and was able to bring that back, and our city administrator is working with it. So our current mayor is a 40-hour-a-week employee. it's hard for him to, you know, to get away to do those types of things, although I'm sure he would want to. But those are some of the reasons why, you know, every day at the office would be part of my platform.
What do you see about Richland Center as being unique? You know, have you had a chance to live elsewhere and things like that?
I have, like I say, from Racine, and traveled throughout the country. I heard at a panel discussion that was actually held at the UW-Platteville Richland campus, where it was a state-level employee, and he said that Wisconsin is number 4 in the United States to bring the 30-somethings back. You know, family is really important in our community, and I would like to see more of those families coming back to 53581. I have heard throughout the community, had a couple of people in talking about economic development, and they stated, you know, they want their kids to stay here. Now, that's not always possible. They're going to go off and spread their wings a bit. But like I say, family's important to come back here so that when the 30-somethings come back, you know, the amenities that we have available here will hold them here. And a great place to raise a family. It's why I came here.
So we'll be looking at some things to try to attract businesses, and you're saying that spending a little bit more time, you might have a chance to do that, make more connections, things like that?
Correct. So, you know, a lot of the work that happens in our community so that we have great parks and we have great amenities, most of that work happens in committees. So I would like to strengthen the process, if you will, to serve on those committees. We have people with, you know, great heart for our community, and of course, those are the people we want working on those committees. So, you know, there are communities in and around our area that actually have applications on their website so that the community members know that they can serve on different, whether it be the park board or the library board, you know, and planning. We do have citizen representation. So once again, those things happen in committees. And so to better our community, that would be a good place to start. And once again, you know, it takes a village. Mm-hmm. So once again, it's not a one person job, but some of my strengths are organization and processes and procedures. Just ask my kids. But so those are the things that I would put forth so that we have the people who have the heart to serve and are also qualified.
So it sounds like communication is important to you. How important is that moving forward?
It's very important. You know, we hear all the time about misinformation, but by not having a social media presence, I mean, yes, newspapers, obviously radio, is important to get the word out. But we also know that this is a fast-paced lifestyle that we all live. And so having that social media presence so that people have a place to go to get that. And then I would like to enhance communication with our decision makers. You know, like I said, I've served almost 6 years. And in the last couple of years, I think it's important that the mayor knows how the council members feel about, you know, larger projects or, you know, something maybe even controversial that's happening. So for the mayor to, you know, invite the council members in and say, what do you think? How do you feel about the position? I mean, I have received calls from our mayor and, you know, telling me about, you know, a project or something, but I want to know what they think. It's important. I'm a good listener.
So you'd have, like, individual meetings
yes,
planned and things
yes,
like that?
Yes, absolutely. So I would have the time for both our council members and the community. I plan on having, you know, several hours just set up for the constituents to wander in and have a conversation or even set up a meeting. But that is important. If you don't know how people feel and think about something, you know, you're spinning your wheels a lot of times with projects that aren't going to take hold because you don't know what your decision makers think.
Building relationships is important, it sounds like.
Yes, very. So connecting with businesses face-to-face, I know that that has started, and that is great. There's been a couple of meetings with between the city, county, and the school administration. I would certainly continue that. I would also like to bring in our businesses. You know, obviously, our larger companies are struggling, just like the city is struggling with having employees. So what is, you know, what can the city do? Can there be outreach programs, you know, something new or different? I recently saw a Facebook post. It was actually from a classmate of mine who works for a company in Lancaster. And they have, where that specific company has a English as a second language instructor come right to the business and sit down and you know, and have a class. Maybe that's something we could do here. So if you're not reaching out, once again, and continue to cultivate those partnerships, both in state government, with the school district, and others. So, yes, listening to our constituents is very important.
Karen Tepley, candidate for mayor of the City of Richland Center, is our guest on The Morning Show, and we'll return with more in just a moment. Karen Tepley is our guest on The Morning Show for WRCO Radio, running for mayor in the City of Richland Center. The election day is April 2nd. That seems so far off, Karen, and here we are. Just
already.
I know.
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Just a few weeks away. As we continue our conversation, I want to talk a little bit about budget for the City of Richland Center, and what would your priorities be?
Yes. As I said, I've served on finance for 4 years, and boy, what an eye-opening experience that is. A city budget doesn't run like your personal budget. It is quite a bit different. And so that is really has been the benefit of having an administrator. Ashley Oliphant, her two priorities when she was hired was for budget and personnel. And budgeting covers, you know, so many aspects of city government. So in the last budget, we were able to go $150,000 less than what the state allows for tax levy. You know, that is a 1-year budget. So we had a quite a good discussion in finance about how to you know, how do we handle that? I mean, everybody talks about net new construction, and that's how, you know, over time your city budget, you know, grows. But it's also, you know, we are the keeper of the taxpayers' money. So we went with the, to go the $150,000 less to keep taxes lower for all. You know, all departments are necessary to operate in the city effectively. However, I think there are two that the community sees the results of. One of that is public works. I mean, how many times do we hear about the condition of streets, curbs, and that type of thing? I live on Hazeltine, and so definitely when the Hazeltine River went away, you know, that was a huge project. We are also doing in a three-phase. The last phase now will be for 8th Street. And we also added another $50,000 for street overlays. So that's one thing that I probably receive more calls on is, when is my street going to get fixed? So we were able to add $50,000 for that. The other department is public safety. You know, obviously our police force and fire and ambulance. You know, all of those departments are taxed today. It's volunteer for the EMS and fire, which, you know, the community I'm from, that they were paid. So when I first moved here, I was really impressed with the number of people who volunteer in those positions. I was able to work with several people in our community to put together what we called Walk Your Wheels. In our downtown area, you're not supposed to either ride your skateboard, your scooter, or your bike on certain streets in downtown. And that's for safety, not because we want to be, you know, no fun. So we put together the plan, and we also took one street, which is Jefferson, off of that. So, you know, people can take Jefferson, ride Jefferson all the way down to the parks, to the aquatic center, right on the sidewalk, so it's safe. So the idea is to walk your wheels. You don't necessarily have to ride in the streets because that is not safe. But if you hop off your bike or your scooter, talk to the friend that you're riding with, you know, in our downtown streets. And once again, the balanced budget, new construction, you know, that once again, it's the balanced budget, you know, that allows for new construction that lowers our taxes, and public services allow for the better quality of life.
Some exciting news, as you mentioned a little bit, with a possible apartment complex. And, you know, I think that's real positive. That came out recently.
Yes. So, once again, Jason Glassbrenner, who has been on the show quite a few times, which is great, benefits of having our own economic development director has been a godsend to us. We have, once again, we talk about housing, you know, also at all levels. We also have the comprehensive plan that guides that. You know, in fact, the only part of the comprehensive plan that we actually have to adhere to is for the zoning aspect. So zoning is actually how your community grows. You know, a lot of people think zoning and I can't do this, I can't do that. That's it allows for growth. Several things that the council passed at the February 6th meeting was the wayfinding sign project. That project has been through three different committees, and I had the pleasure of carrying it from one to the other. And then branding really helped that project go forward. So I'm sure you've noticed there have been our new logo in much of the ads and that type of thing. But we will have two new entrance signs, as well as about 25 wayfinding signs throughout our community, and that is to give visitors and new residents ideas of where to go. So your visitor center, your downtown, your aquatic center, and those types of things. And then we also approved the purchase of property on the Orange Street corridor. Once again, that's in the redevelopment area, and that was part, once again, economic development director put that together with the EPA, and the EPA did a site plan not only for Brownfield but also to give that area, like say, a visual of what could happen there. And when that happened, the owners of that property saw that and thought that was absolutely wonderful. So the city council approved a purchase for that. Now, with that, we also put forth a feasibility study for a hotel. And I had the pleasure to bring that forward. And now I'm also working with Candace Fagerlin, who serves on our planning committee. And so we would are working with Cobblestone Hotel. And once again, Candace and I are moving that forward to the point where then Cobblestone will take over, but and do the work that they do so well. So we're really excited about that, and seeing that as a huge plus for our downtown.
Explain Cobblestone then.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
A business chain.
Yes, exactly. They are franchised in Wisconsin. They're
okay.
Headquartered in Wisconsin, in the Neenah area, and we are their market, which is really great. Their tagline is big city quality, small town values. So fits us perfectly. So, yes, they have, I think since 2007, they have been offering franchise, and it's a complete turnkey property. So we are going to be moving through that. But like I said, it's a great fit for our community, up to, I believe, it's 54-room hotel in our downtown. you know, years ago, the Phoenix Center had always talked about the opportunity to have a hotel next door to their property. And in conversations we had with Cobblestone for that property before the dialysis center and pharmacy was located there, and they said, you know, it's not quite big enough. You'd have to do a shared parking lot with the bowling alley, and that probably wouldn't have been a very good idea. So, you know, it's been in the works for a lot of years, and it's actually moving forward now. So I'm really excited to be a part of that project.
So it would be across the road then,
right,
from where the bowling alley is now.
Exactly.
Then,
so right behind Quick Trip.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Looking ahead then, down the road, there's some exciting things. I think you work hand-in-hand with tourism, if you can, right?
Yes. I do serve on the Tourism Commission. And so, yeah, as far as, you know, like visions for our community, greater Richland tourism, along with the greater Chamber of Greater Richland Chamber of Commerce. That's a mouthful. You know, they are the entities that are kind of responsible for, you know, the event driven, you know, the tourism offers grants for events in our community. And I would like to see more grants come through so that, you know, we have things to do in our community. So, yes.
Writing grants, that's a tough thing too, right? It takes a lot of time.
It is. And I believe it was just on the news this morning that a grant that Ashley Oliphant and Jason Glassbrenner worked on a state level to bring roughly about $2.5 million to infrastructure project on Highway 14 where the hospital plans to build. So grant writing is very important. It's how business gets done.
Right. Yeah. The city expands a little bit, you know, as we look at that and the possibility of the hospital being located somewhere else.
Yes.
Down the
definitely.
Road. So an exciting time for the city. That's for sure.
It is. Yeah. It is great to be a part of the decision-making process. It will be wonderful to be part of the CEO position.
What do you love most about the city of Richland Center?
Oh, my goodness. I really love the small town feel. You know, we can go for a bike ride here. It is the reason I moved my family here. I lived in Racine, but I lived on the outskirts. We had a bike trail just, you know, two blocks from our house, but it wasn't safe. You know, it was getting a little on the rough side. Here, you can go for a bike ride. Kids can be kids. Our parks are great. There's many amenities that we have here, and room for growth. So we are up and coming. We're getting on that map, as they say.
Awesome. Anything you'd like to add this morning, Karen, that we haven't covered?
Well, I would just like to thank you, Phil, and WRCO and WRCE for fitting this conversation into the morning show schedule. If you believe the reasons I stated that I want our city to continue to be the best we can be for transparency and accountability, then I would ask for your vote on April 2nd.
And I think you just encourage people to get out and
yes,
do that.
Yes, please get out and vote, no matter who you're voting for. You know, it's one of the things that we have as Americans to make our choice known. So I would encourage everyone to vote.
How can people contact you or get a hold of you if they have any questions?
Sure. I'm on Facebook. Mayor, Karen for Mayor is my Facebook page. And they can certainly reach out to me there. I also have email listed on the city site. And my phone number is area code 608-604-1046. And I guess I would like to just end with this quote. I made a sheet here that when I first decided that I would look at running for mayor, and I have my pros and my cons listed. And on the bottom, I have things that make us uncomfortable help us build courage to do the work we do, from Eleanor Roosevelt.
Ah. Thank you very much for coming by, Karen.
Thank you again, Phil.
Good to learn about you. That is Karen Tepley, candidate for the city of Richland Center. Again, the election day coming up April 2nd, 2024.